If you could turn to Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. This is Jesus speaking about answering prayer. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Very strange thing for him to say. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, speaking about Abraham, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And verse 21 is where I'm taking my title from. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. And my title today is Fully Persuaded. Fully Persuaded. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us today, that the word will encourage us, that it will bless us, that it will give us something to meditate upon this week. Father, we just thank you for your presence. Lord, only you can bring anointing, Lord God. We ask right now that you prepare our soil to receive your word, that it will encourage us, that it will bless us, that it will help us to grow. Lord God, we ask right now you fill this sanctuary with faith. Lord God, that you give me utterance, Lord, to speak your word clearly. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done in our lives. You've taken us into a new year, Lord God. We're already halfway through this month of January. Lord, only you knows what the future entails for each and every one. But Lord, we commit our lives to you, and we ask you, Lord God, to guide and lead us and to lift us up and to put us on a safe place. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, are you fully persuaded? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. That first scripture I read, Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, Jesus asked this question out of the blue, like it doesn't seem to match what he had been talking before. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? And then the second scripture was about Abraham and how he was fully persuaded that whatever God had told him, God was able to do. Being fully persuaded. Before I preach, when I know it's my turn to preach, I always try and seek God and ask God, what is it you want me to say? What do your people need to hear? Maybe what do I need to hear? And what came to me was that we're suffering from a lack of faith. You'll say, no, I believe. Well, you're here. You do believe in God, else you wouldn't be here. You believe there is a God. You believe God is real. But there is some lack of faith as to whether he's going to do anything for you. Yeah, there's a lack of faith. And what prompted me to hit on this, those of you who had listened to the video, Dr. Miles Monroe, he said something quite interesting. He said, people stop praying, and the reason is because they're not getting what they prayed for. Now, we don't maybe like to say that, but it probably is the truth, that people get discouraged when they pray for something, and it doesn't seem to happen right away. Of course, there's many reasons why they may not get what they want right away. But what we get into is an unbelief cycle. Because we've prayed and it didn't happen when we wanted it to, then our faith falls and then we stop praying. And then we come to church and we go through the motions and we hear about other people getting delivered, other people getting healed, other people getting blessed. And our faith just keeps going down and we don't believe that it can happen for us. In fact, we get like Gideon. After a while, the children of Israel had been come out of Egypt. A few hundred years had passed and they didn't have any great leaders like Moses or Joshua. And we're in the time of Judges and the miracles seem to be in the past. And an angel shows up that looks like a man and starts having a conversation with Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" I'm sure you've asked that question. Lord, if I'm your servant, if I'm your child, if I'm your beloved, why am I going through all this stuff? And then the next question is, where be all his miracles? Where is the parting of the Red Sea? Where is the food falling from heaven? I heard about. Where is the water coming out the rock? I've heard about this. Gideon hadn't seen anything happen for a long time. He'd heard about it. His great-great-grandfather told him how they came out of Egypt, how God had sent light on Goshen and darkness on the Egyptian, how the river had turned to blood, how water had parted. But where are the miracles today? What's happening now? And what I'm trying to tell you is mostly it's because we don't believe. We believe it can happen for someone else. We believe it can happen to someone else. But we don't believe. We've heard about it. My father used to tell me all the stories of the miraculous healings, how he got healed after fasting for days on asthma, and he never suffered asthma again. He told me of the miraculous stories of how he had to deal with some people doing witchcraft and how the Lord miraculously empowered him. He told me how many times he had been delivered from death. Now, I have had some miracles, and I'm not going to bore you with telling them again. I've had some great miracles. But I want more. I don't want to be able to live just on yesterday's. You see, God gave them manna every day. The miracle happened every day. Every day they went out, there was some new manna. But we have gotten into a cycle of unbelief. And it's very dangerous for us to stay in a cycle of unbelief. We have got to get back into believing that what God says he can do and what he has promised he will do. See, people stop praying because they haven't seen it happen, or they pray, but they don't really believe it's going to happen. Right? Satan has whispered to them all kinds of stuff and told them, hey, you asked for this and it didn't happen. See, we start to pray without faith. We start to just go through the motions. Yes, we're all here at church today, but did you believe? Do you believe that something different can happen to you today? Do you believe that you can leave here with a blessing today? Or are you just praying without conviction? So you know what we do? We ask someone else to pray for us. Can you pray for me? Or on the text, can you pray for me? You know I don't have any more Holy Ghost than you. You do know that, right? Amen. And there's nothing wrong in asking for someone else to pray. But you know when people ask me to pray, you know what I tell them back? I'm going to pray in agreement with you. Don't depend upon me. I'm going to pray in agreement with you. We're going to agree together. So if you're not in agreement that on your prayer, don't expect me to carry you. That's not how it works. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28, Jesus nearly always asked this question. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this." Before you pray, you better have decided that question in your mind. Do you believe? Are you fully persuaded that what you're praying for, God can do? I don't hear you. Sound like you're not fully persuaded. That's what I'm trying to encourage you today. You have to be 100% persuaded that God can do what you're praying for. If you're not persuaded, the Bible says, don't think you're going to get your answer if you don't believe. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that half-heartedly seek him. It's diligently seek him. You're not going to get nothing from God if you do the, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and that's it. No, that's not the kind of prayer you're going to have today. You're going to have a diligent prayer. You're going to have a bawling prayer. You're going to have to weep before the Lord. You're going to have to get down on your face and cry out aloud. This is the kind of prayer that brings answers. Before Jesus healed anyone. He asked them, do you believe I can do this? You have to be fully persuaded. You come to church, but are you fully persuaded what's going on here? Are you fully persuaded that worship is a good thing? Are you fully persuaded that what we do is right? Some people are not fully persuaded. They come because they're supposed to, but they're not fully persuaded. And then when they pray, they wonder why God doesn't do it for me. Jesus asked, believe ye that I am able to do this. He knew he could do it, but he's going to do nothing unless you agree with him. Then touched he their eyes. Only after they said unto him, yea, Lord. God is wanting to know today, are you fully persuaded? Are you just going through the motions because your father went to church, your grandfather went to church? Or are you fully persuaded? Do you believe this thing with your whole heart? God doesn't want any 50%, 60%, 99% and a half still won't do. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. You have to be fully persuaded. If you're not fully persuaded, you're not going to make it. Let me just tell you this right now. You have to be 110%. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Here's where Paul got his strength from. For he said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Next verse. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Are you fully persuaded? In Sunday school, I was talking about John the Apostle and how he had this strange idea that he was Jesus' favorite. He went around and called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. As if Jesus didn't love the other disciples. And I told the Sunday school class, he said it so much, told the other disciples so much, that they believed him. They started asking John to go ask Jesus. Because he told them, yeah, I'm his favorite. I'm his beloved. I'm his special child. John was the youngest disciple. He started following Jesus when he was probably about 17. So probably they believed that Jesus gave him special favors. He wrote in his own book, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I said in the Sunday school that the point being, as soon as we're born into God's kingdom, we become his beloved. But you have to believe that. You have to be fully persuaded that God has a special plan for you, that he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, that he has a plan and promises and blessings and deliverances and gifts for you. The devil's already whispering to some of you, no, no, that can't be me, no, no, somebody else. See, you have to be fully persuaded. We see this example in scripture when Jesus came out of the water before he'd done a single miracle. Just the fact that he had symbolically been baptized and he came out of the water, the voice said, this is my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. See, if my mother was waiting to love me, I said this in Sunday school, till I graduated high school, that'd be a long time to go without love. The moment you are born into God's kingdom, you have to be fully persuaded that he loves you, that he's got a plan for your life. Paul knew this. This was the strength. If you don't get this, you'll have no strength. Your faith will be weak. You have to be fully persuaded to be able to say like Paul, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor your past can separate you from God's love. You see, the way we lose faith is Satan comes and speaks to you and brings up all the stuff you messed up, which all of us have. There are no perfect people except for Christ. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He loved us while we were yet sinners, even much more now that we have come to him, even much more now that we are trying. We should understand that we are his beloved. You can't have faith if you don't believe that Jesus loves you. Think about it, because faith is based upon love. I mean, if I was to tell you right now that Jesus is looking down upon you and saying, I love you. I've got such great things for you. I've got plans for you you can't even dream of, that you don't even understand. Now, if you started to really believe that, you'd all be smiling. How could you not smile if you believe that? If right now I told you that God is looking down and saying, boy, if that person only understood what great things I have for them and what blessings, what miracles, what giftings, what deliverances, what awesome stuff I've got for that person. You cannot believe that and not smile. That's why John had all the disciples hoodwinked. I'm his favorite. He listens to me. And he kept on telling them, and they believed him. They believed him to the point where they would ask him, hey, John, go ask Jesus. They believed him until you realize that we're all his beloved. John himself later on called the whole church beloved of Christ. We are his elect. We're his beloved. But you have to be fully persuaded. Not halfway persuaded. Well, sometimes he loves me. When I come to church and pay my tithes, he loves me. No, that's not when he loves you. He loves you even when you were yet a sinner. When you were still in your mess. When you didn't even care about him. When you didn't have no cares about church. God loved you. He still loves you. Now, that doesn't mean he's pleased with your mess. Don't get that confused. God isn't pleased with mess. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. But love, as I've said before, is not enough to save you. Love, God's love is not enough to save you. We can prove that in scripture. I didn't put it in my message, but there was a young rich ruler that came to Jesus and he said, I've been a good guy. I do everything that's required of me. And the Bible says this amazing thing. It says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and saw the potential, saw what he could have been. And yet we never even know his name because Jesus asked him one thing. Jesus' love for him was strong enough, but his love for Christ was not strong enough. Jesus said, listen, go and sell what you have. Come follow me. The Bible said he was very rich. And when he considered that, he wasn't willing to give up. He didn't love enough to give up what he had to follow Christ. So God's love was not strong enough. You got to hold on to God's love if he's going to pull you out of your mess. See, God's love, I've said many times, is like a chain. It can pull, but it can't push. You can't push anything with a chain. You'll fail all every day you try to push. But God's love is strong enough. If we will hold on to be pulled out of our mess. See, Satan will bring up your past. He'll bring up all your failures and try and destroy your faith. Sometimes we wonder why our prayers are not heard. It's because sometimes we haven't forgiven somebody. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, listen, you have to forgive, then your heavenly Father will what? We wonder why our prayers are not answered is because we're not persuaded that his word is what it says. He says forgive. No questions asked. Does it say only if he came back and apologized first? Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. You have to be fully persuaded that God's word is as it is. Then you will get some benefits. Then you'll get some blessings. Then God's word will become real. Then you'll start to reap a harvest. In Psalms 84, verse 11, it says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And here's the point. When God gives something, it says, for no good thing. No good thing. If God has got something for you, don't worry about it. No one can steal it. No one can take it. It can never be lost. In the 80s, I used to do recordings in studios and have a group and so on, and we would record, and people would come to me, and I would help them get what they call copyright, get their music copyrighted. But I personally never copyrighted anything. And people would say, well, why don't you copyright anything? And I said, well, they can't take it from me. I've not written my best song yet. Amen? God has got more for me. You can't steal what belongs to me because it comes from God. I can't take what God's got for you because it comes from God. He says no good thing will he withhold from them that walk, but there's a condition, uprightly. God will not give you anything but good if you will walk uprightly. Now the question is, are you persuaded? Do you believe? See, we like to come to church and worship and all of that, but the thing that's going to give you the victory is your faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm trying to tell you today, you got to get back your faith. You got to get back your groove. You've got to get back your worship. You've got to be fully persuaded why you're here today. Not to see someone, not to date someone, not to sing, not even to pray. You have got to be fully persuaded on the word of God. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because it's just not the right time. So we get discouraged and we want to give up. We've been praying for something, we've been praying for something, hasn't come to pass. See, God's timing is perfect. Sometimes it's a Lazarus situation. You know what I mean by that? It's a Lazarus situation. John chapter 11 verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest. I want you to notice that. He whom thou lovest is sick. In other words, they were praying. They sent word to the master, come and heal our brother. And it wasn't that Jesus didn't love him. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It wasn't a lack of love why the answer didn't come right away. When he had heard, therefore, he was sick. This is the puzzling part to us. He stayed where he was another 2 days till Lazarus was dead. Lord, we've been praying, you love us. And it wasn't a lack of love. Sometimes our prayer is a matter of God's timing. I've told you my testimony so many times, how we went through this thing with the mortgage company and it just went on for months and months and months, and I didn't understand it till after a year. I just relaxed in the Lord and said, okay, I see it's hopeless now. It's gone to the point where it's beyond any human solution. It's got to be in God's hands. And then God revealed to me, I've got this. And I didn't understand it till 16 months had passed. 16 months of not paying the mortgage. 16 months, and they still had not done what they kept on saying they were going to do from 6 months. They were going to foreclose. And they finally sent me a letter saying, we're going to foreclose, and we're not going to give you a mortgage modification. And I looked at the letter, and I said, this is wrong. This is not true. This is not what the Lord told me. And I called them up, and they said, oh, that's a mistake. You've been approved. See, I didn't understand. Lord, why didn't you answer that prayer after 3 months? Well, here's the reason. 32 months, I owed them more than $32,000. They said, right now, we're forgiving that $32,000. You owe us nothing. Your mortgage is now current. And that wasn't the end of it. Then they said, and we're reducing your mortgage payment each month by $380. You know, it was like one of them commercials when they say, and now what would you pay for this? There's more. And if you will keep the house for another 3 years, we're going to remove $80,000 off of your principal. Woo! I've had some miracles. I've had some miracles, but I want more. I've seen God help me kill the lion. I've seen God help me kill the bear, but I want more. You need to be fully persuaded. If God can do that, he can do anything. You see, if he'd answered my prayer at 3 months, that only saved me $6,000. He let us keep that house for 16 months and wiped out $32,000 and said, you don't owe us anything. Now, have you heard of that before? I had never heard of that before. Even when they sent us the letter saying we're not going to do it, I called up and I said, this is wrong. And they said, yes, this is wrong. The God that we serve has a perfect timing. The times when I kind of get back faith is when I have a missionary come and I start telling them, we take them out and we start telling them the history of the church. We start telling them all the things we had to go through to be here. You know, at one point, the neighbors had reported us to the city because we needed a new roof. A new roof was anywhere from $40,000 to $80,000. So the city started fining us over $300 a month. So to help us get a new roof, they started fining us when we couldn't afford the roof in the first place. So after about 2 years, we owed them over $12,000. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but the God that I serve, the God that we serve, got rid of it all. Not only that, he gave us a new roof, new heating, new carpeting, everything we ever asked for. Are you fully persuaded? God is a God of miracles. He's a God of blessing. He can do what looks impossible. I told the son, I can't even tell you the things that God has done. They're too embarrassing, actually. You'd think, wow, pastor. But I know of what I'm speaking. The God I serve is a miracle-working God. But you have to be fully persuaded. He has delivered me so many times. He pulled me out of a miry pit. You see, sometimes when we pray, the devil will take the fact that it hasn't been answered right away to try and destroy our faith. And when he heard he was sick, he abode 2 more days. In my case, it was 16 months. Lord, when are you going to solve this problem? When are you going to fix it? When the Lord fixed it, he fixed it. He fixed it in such a way that it's unbelievable. That's the God we serve. The question is, turn to your neighbor. Are you fully persuaded? Ask your neighbor this question. Are you fully persuaded? The good thing about Martha was that even though Lazarus was dead, she never lost faith. This is the real miracle of this. In John 11, verse 21, when Jesus finally showed up, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. True. Jesus, if you had fixed my mortgage problem 3 months, then I wouldn't have had to go through this. But how much better was it when he did fix it? How much greater was the miracle when he shouted, Lazarus, come forth? How much more powerful was that miracle when they rolled away the stone and this man who was dead 4 days came out the grave? There was no more disputing. This was miraculous. God will put you in a situation where the only thing that happens has to be miraculous. It can't be coincidence. Can't be some strange happening. It's nothing short of a miracle from the King of Kings. See, it's unbelief why we don't get most of our prayers answered. It's not unbelief in God. I believe you all believe in God. It's not unbelief that he can do miracles. It's not unbelief that miracles are real. It's unbelief that he will do it for you. It's okay when it's someone else, yeah, but when it's you, when you're facing something so huge, so impossible, that's when you have to be fully persuaded. Some people say, well, why should I even pray when God already knows what I need? Yeah, he does, but he needs you to give him permission. He needs you to be in agreement. Jesus always asked the question before he prayed, do you believe I can do this? And you may notice some of you when you come down here, I don't just pray for you. I ask you what it is you want me to pray with you because I want to be in agreement with you. You need to believe. You need to be fully persuaded. Else God will not do something for you unless you're fully persuaded. You have to invite him into your situation. You have to submit yourself to his rulership. You have to be fully committed to what God wants to do in your life. See, doubt comes easily. One of these days I'm going to put a $100 bill. I keep saying it, but one of these days I'm going to put a $100 bill under one of these things and I'm going to say to someone, do you believe I've got a $100 bill underneath there? First one come and pick it up, it's theirs. I'm going to do it one of these Sundays. See, when God tells us something, well, maybe. We're not fully persuaded. Now, doubt can happen to the best of us. Here's an example in Scripture. Luke chapter 7, verse 19. John the Baptist was the one that declared who Jesus was. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. But then the devil got him and threw him in prison. And Jesus didn't do anything for the first 3 years. You know, maybe they were expecting something dramatic, you know, fire come down from heaven, the Romans instantly vaporized, You know, we'd like to do that, go around like and point fingers and have the zap of God come down and cast out demons. Maybe God doesn't want to quite work that way. And Satan says, you see, it didn't work. And we become less than fully persuaded. Luke chapter 7, verse 19, and John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? See, John too was human. All of us can go through that point where we sometimes have doubts, where Satan will come and attack us. He'll throw us into prison, into doubting castle, so to speak. When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? The great thing about this is when John first did this, Jesus had never done a miracle. All he had done was come to be baptized. He had never seen him do a miracle when he first declared who he was. Jesus told him, look what is happening. Go and tell John all that you see. I'll tell you what Jesus will do for you to get your faith back in. He'll show you someone else's miracle. Amen. You need to get your faith back in gear and be like Elisha. When he saw Elijah come to the river and he take his gown and he hit the river and it parted, he said, I'm going to try that. I want to try that. He promised me that if I saw him when he ascended, I was going to get a double portion. You know what we need to do? We need to take and do like Elisha. When we come up to the river, I want to try that. Pastor said he got out of 16 months of mortgage. I want to try that. Now, don't do it deliberately. Don't just stop paying your mortgage. But if you're in a financial situation, you can pray and ask God, Lord, you're able to do this. I've been faithful to your house. I've been faithful to supporting the church, Lord. Try me, he said. Prove me. In the case of Nicodemus, the Bible said that his alms, his giving, had come up as a memorial before God. You can't outdo God. You cannot outdo God. God can outdo you just like that. Amen. He is faithful. See, the reason why God did that was because we were taking the money and fixing the church. And I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you what happened. And we had no idea. You know, we had decided, well, if we lose the house, we lose the house. But that doesn't matter. We're not living for the house. Amen. We're not living. God is faithful. The question is, are you fully persuaded or only half persuaded? Even John the Baptist, who Jesus called of men born of women, there was none greater. There was time when his faith got a little bit weak. Once he was thrown into prison and he was maybe expecting Jesus to set up the kingdom then. See, God does things in his own matter. The Bible says, lean not to what? See, we can't work out God. We just have to trust him. He doesn't say, work me out. He doesn't say, work me out. He says, trust me. Trust me. We have to get to the place where we restore faith. You will not have your deliverance without faith. You will not have victory without faith. And so you have to, if your faith is weak today, you're going to have to think of a way, find a way to overcome that. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You're not going to make it unless you're fully persuaded. And if you understand that, you're going to have to say, Lord, like the disciples, what did they say? Increase our faith. Give us more faith, Lord. Boy, this is hard to understand. I don't know how we're going to get this. So you know what they did? They asked God to give them more faith. Increase my faith. Lord, give me more faith. You know what that'll mean? God is going to put you in a test where your faith is going to be challenged. But when you see that, you should smile. You should be happy. And I'm going to get this test. I'm going to nail this test. You ever been to school where you really studied and you were prepared and you were really excited? Nobody? No scholars here? Where you were really happy because you were going to nail this? Well, I'm preparing you for the test. So when it comes now, you should be really happy and say, I'm going to nail this. This is a challenge of my faith. I'm going to do this in one leap. I'm going to prove the devil a liar. I'm going to prove God right. Because 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you born of God? Are you fully persuaded? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It starts with you believing, first of all, that you are his beloved. Do you believe you're his beloved? You have got to have the kind of faith that John had. He went around telling his disciples, I'm God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. And I can almost believe that. God has got me out of so much stuff and blessed me so much above what I deserve. I'm his favorite as far as getting out of trouble. I can tell you that. I probably hold the record. Paul called himself what? The chiefest of sinners. Well, I haven't quite murdered any Christians literally yet. Never. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Paul had put Christians to death. And he called himself the chiefest of sinners. But I am certainly an example of his mercy. So far from perfect. So messed up. Yes, I was always a preacher's kid. That doesn't mean I was perfect. As I said, there's many things I cannot tell you how God delivered me and kept me. And we must all be fully persuaded. I have a lot more, but I'm going to cut it short here. If you could stand with me. We have to be fully persuaded. We have to know that we know that we know that we know. Amen? We have to know that we know that we know that we know. There couldn't be anything that could come and take away your belief and faith. We have to embrace the fact that God has given us this promise, and the promise brings hope, and hope brings faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You have to be fully persuaded, not halfway persuaded. I've got, you know, as I said before, my mother did me a good favor and a bad favor in that she told me I could do anything, and I was just young enough to believe her. And that was good and bad. Because I went into things I had no business getting into just because I had so much confidence. Because she told me, you can do anything. The truth is, through God, you can do anything. Of flesh, no, I couldn't. But through God, the Bible says we are more. Let's say more.
More.
More. That means there is an overpayment. There, we are more than conquerors. Not a little bit conquerors. Not just barely making it. We are more. We are much more. We are more. You have to be fully persuaded of that. There can't be any doubt in your mind that through God you're able to get through what you're facing this week, this month, this year. Through God you are able to do it. Amen. You are able to do it. We are more. Not less. More. Say it one more time. More. So then faith, Romans 10:17, comes by hearing. So this is why I'm preaching this, because faith comes by hearing. If you've been listening, then hopefully you will have increased your faith, because faith comes by hearing. Let's say it. Faith comes by hearing. So don't listen to me then. Listen to somebody that's going to give you the word of God. But you need to have more word coming into you, because that's how faith comes. You got to be fully persuaded. If you come down here to pray today, be fully persuaded. Don't come half persuaded. Be determined. The woman who had the issue of blood, the way she got healed, she said, if I but touch his garment. She was fully persuaded. She didn't even have to ask him to speak, but she had it in her mind. All I have to do is touch this man. If I can just touch him, something's going to happen. She was fully persuaded. Jesus didn't even have to ask her anything. He said, who touched me? That wasn't just some ordinary touch. That was a touch of a fully persuaded person who believed. I'm going to stop, but I want you to know today you have to be fully persuaded. This is the only way you're going to make it. You have to have a made up mind. Be fully persuaded that this thing is real. That you can be saved. You can be delivered of addictions, of doubt, of fear, of depression, of relationships. But you have to have a made up mind. You have to be fully persuaded. This altar is open. We're going to close this service. I want to be fully persuaded. I have no, as pastor, I have no excuse. God has already done so many miracles for me. So many awesome miracles for me. But if you come down here today, be fully persuaded that you can leave different. And I guarantee you, God will honor your faith. God isn't moved by tears. He isn't moved by pleas. He's moved by faith. And if you're fully persuaded, you can leave here different than the way you came. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service. But be fully persuaded. Hallelujah. Father, we just ask right now, Lord God, that your word will get into our hearts. Lord, that the seed which is your word, Lord God, will bring forth a harvest of faith. Lord, that our faith will rise today, that we will stand upon the many promises you have given us. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face, hallelujah, hallelujah, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I heal their land. Hallelujah. You've given us so many promises. Lord, I pray right now, Lord God, that we find a promise to stand upon, to plant our flag, to say, I'm fully persuaded. Lord, I want to reap your benefits. Lord, I want you to pour down your blessings into my life. I want deliverance. Lord, I want a change. I don't want to be repeating this year again. Lord, I pray for a new direction. Lord, I pray for salvation in my heart. Pray for deliverance. Oh, hallelujah, from addiction. Lord, I pray for deliverance from perversion. Lord, I pray for deliverance, hallelujah, in relationship. Lord, I'm fully persuaded that you are able, hallelujah, to deliver me. Lord, we thank you for those at the altar right now. Lord, as I pray for them, Lord, I pray that there be a special anointing, a breakthrough, a deliverance. As I touch them, Lord God, that there will be a faith that will arise in their hearts, that you will bring forth a miracle, hallelujah, that they will have a testimony of victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, church, if you will join with me in prayer, as we pray, as we close this service.